For a long time, when a marriage was in trouble, very often the decision to stay married was for the sake of the kids. But in the 60s and 70s, divorces became more frequent, and what to do with the children became a matter for the courts to decide. What emerged was the sole custody model, where one parent, usually the mother, was granted physical custody, and the other parent was granted visitation along the lines of every other weekend, alternate holidays, and maybe a couple of weeks in the summertime. Well, a different approach is making headway in recent years. The idea of shared parenting. Here to explain how this works are Tiffany Taylor. She's a Kansas City, Kansas resident and author of the children's book, Two Halves Make Me Whole, on this very topic. Tiffany, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Ned Holstein. He's founder and chairman of the National Parents Organization. Dr. Holstein, thanks for joining us as well.
Hello, Steve. It's a kick to be on your show.
Oh, great. Well, Ned, what's wrong with granting sole custody or even the current version of joint custody?
It just doesn't work for kids. The research evidence is overwhelming. They do much better when they have lots of parenting time with each of their parents. And I would say that shared parenting is the modern day solution for two parent families after a divorce or separation.
Huh. Tiffany, you have a son. His name is Jackson. If you don't mind me asking, would you give us an understanding of your relationship with Jackson's dad and what led to the realization that you two wouldn't be making a go of it anymore?
Well, I actually lived in Atlanta for 6 years and we were together. Jackson was about 3 months old when I decided I was going to move back to Kansas City. So it was fairly new into the relationship.
Yeah.
So we separated and I moved back to Kansas City. So that's how we started the conversation of how we were going to co-parent.
I was going to say,
from so far away.
The two of you decided you could make a go of it as parents to Jackson without staying together?
Yes, we did, actually. It wasn't easy, and it hasn't been easy, but we've had conversations about it, and we talk about it. Communication is really key with our relationship.
Is your ex still in Atlanta?
Yes, he's still there. We go there and visit. We actually just came back from there for the holiday. He comes here, Jackson's basketball games, football games. We kind of go back and forth, and with technology, it's great that we can FaceTime, and we do conference calls, and he's involved in every aspect of what Jackson is doing. So
technology makes this whole thing a new day, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we love FaceTime.
Yeah. Ned, your organization supports a shared physical custody when appropriate, as you were saying. Tell us what your definition of shared is.
It simply means, at the most basic level, that the child will have lots of parenting time from each parent. How much? Well, a lot more than what is customary today in the family courts, where they typically give every other weekend and maybe other little pieces of time here and there to what they call the non-custodial parent.
It's better. How why? Much? Help me with that, Ned.
It's better because children are happier, they're more joyful, they're less depressed, they do better in school, they get better grades, they don't drop out as much, they have better test scores, they have fewer problems with alcohol, they have fewer problems with drug abuse, they have less delinquency, truancy, and involvement with gangs, they have less involvement with the law, they have less teen pregnancy. Hmm. It's all good and it's all free.
And you ultimately, as you're saying here, you see this as a societal issue. Why?
I do, because about half of all the children in the United States today are subject to decisions of the family court. With such an enormous number of our children having their lives run in part by the family courts, then the decisions that they make are not just problems for the individuals involved, but they are problems for society as a whole.
Tiffany, your book, Two Halves Make Me Whole, I have a copy of it right here, and it's a beautiful book. It tells the story of co-parenting or shared parenting from the viewpoint of the child. How does that little boy see the situation? I mean, what's his understanding of it?
And that's the reason why I wrote the book. I wanted him to see himself in the story, and I wanted him to be able to.
I bet he loved that.
He loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really into it at first, but now he's into Monster Jam, so that's all.
This is old hat now,
right?
Right,
that's old.
Yesterday's news, yeah.
Yes. So I wanted him to see himself in story form. It can get kind of complicated with the parents, so I wanted to bring it to his level and let him see that you're loved here in Kansas City, you're loved in Atlanta. And like you said, we want to open up the door as far as we don't want it to be structured and scheduled. We want to be able to join in whenever you can and when you want to and not when the court says.
So. And so for you, the biggest challenge has been what?
I say communication is the biggest thing. Being so far apart from each other, we make sure that we schedule time to get on the phone and say, okay, this is what Jackson's doing in school. This is what he's doing on free time. And so that has been the biggest challenge, but we've worked it out. Communication is so key in this.
I was going to say, Ned, if communication is so key, what do you do in cases when the parents are at odds and aren't communicating very, very closely?
Well, I think it depends on, I think the answer lies in what a couple expects when they walk into court to separate or divorce. Currently, they expect that one parent is going to get the lion's share of the parenting time, what is called sole custody, sole physical custody of the children. If they know before they ever step foot in the courts that what's likely to come out of the courts is a lot of sharing of the child, then they stop thinking about how do I fight custody? How do I put my battle axe down, and instead they start talking about how do we make this work.
That's interesting. What benefits to Jackson do you see with this model of parenting, Tiffany, as you look at it now?
Well, I make sure that his dad is involved. Like I said, I want to make sure that he knows that his dad cares about him and what decisions he's making at school and what he's doing on his free time. And he's involved, not just, you know, even if he was down the street, he would be as involved as he is now. So
that's great. The Missouri legislature has companion bills in both chambers to modify current provisions so that joint custody means the child gets, quote, substantial, frequent, continuing, and meaningful time with both parents. Technically, can't judges do that now, Ned? I mean, why is there a need to have lawmakers spell this out?
Well, the judges can do it now, but unfortunately, all the statistics show that they're not doing this now. It's a little hard to figure out why. I think it has to do with the fact that special interest groups have control of the judicial education process. Remember that judges are attorneys before they became judges. They don't have any training in child development. They've never read a social science or a child development article in their life, but they're entrusted with figuring out what's in the best interest of children. So, given the fact that there are special interest groups who are pumping hard to keep sole custody as the usual outcome, it's not surprising that judges who have no independent basis of knowledge would still be making the wrong decision in most cases.
How do you see that changing then going forward based on the research you've been telling us about today?
Well, the great thing is that if our legislatures and other thought leaders and decision makers follow the wisdom that we're learning from Tiffany, they can push the judiciary to do their job differently and to do it better. You know, there's only a few thousand family court judges in the United States. We could re-educate them and train them in what's best for children in a matter of 3 months if the political will were there to do this. And then we could start reaping all of the benefits to children, both at individual level and at the level of society, within months. We could start feeling that benefit. Children who are less depressed, children who are no longer acting out in school with depression or anger or absenting themselves. We have a lot to learn from Tiffany and her husband.
And Ned, based on what you're seeing across the country, do you see that day coming where these judges get the training you're talking about within the next 3-4 years? Or are you not that optimistic?
Well, we see that the legislatures throughout the country are starting to move. Just even right now in Missouri, there's a bill under serious consideration. There's one in Florida. There's one in Massachusetts. And many other states, the same thing is happening. So the legislatures are starting to get the idea, and they're pushing forward on this step by step. And I think the judiciary will follow. I do think there is a problem of special interests who are affecting this process, and we have to overcome that.
You know, Tiffany, I'm wondering, when you and Jackson's dad agreed to co-parent, did you work out some rules that you two presented, you know, a similar structure to Jackson so there wasn't one set of rules when he was with dad and a different set of rules when he was with mom? Because I could imagine that could become very confusing to him very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. We make sure that we have that conversation with Jackson. This is how we feel. We feel the same way about this down the line. So yeah, we had to have that conversation with him, that and the conversation with each other, that we had to parent the same way. It can't be fun at mom's and then at dad's it's, you know, rigorous. So we made sure that we had that conversation.
And again, Absolutely. It sounds like you two have worked this out pretty well.
Yes, and I feel like the communication is very important for the children to see as well.
Yeah.
They need to be able to see that parents can talk to each other and it be amicable, and they need to be able to see that.
You know, Ned, I'm thinking there may be some parents listening to this who have sole custody of their kids, and they're thinking, hey, wait a minute, I'm doing a pretty good job as a single parent. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, there are millions of courageous, hardworking yes. single parents who are doing very well by their children. I'm talking overall and on average. And that sounds cold and statistical and abstract. But when you're talking about millions of children, if you have millions of them who are having bad outcomes, even though the majority are doing well, that's a disaster for our country. And we're seeing it in the test scores, and we're seeing mm-hmm. it in the drug problems, and we're seeing it in the delinquency and the dropout rates and so on. We're seeing these problems. So I would say I salute the single parents. They're doing a tough job. They're working hard at it. But they're trying to overcome odds, and there's a better way to do it.
Ned, under what circumstances would it still be appropriate to award sole custody of a child these days?
Well, clearly, the part that has gone unsaid until you've asked this smart question is that, of course, there are unfit parents, and in those cases, we shouldn't have shared parenting. If they're schizophrenic, if they have a serious drug or alcohol problem, if one parent has been beating up on the other parent and there's domestic violence, those are not good cases for shared parenting. In fact, in most cases, there should not be yeah. shared parenting unless both parents are fit.
Tiffany, how often these days does Jackson wind up seeing his father?
We see him about once a month. So it would be great if we could see him more. But, you know, financially, we see him once a month flying back and forth.
And when he's with one parent, is the other parent still active through phone calls or email? It sounds like that's the
absolutely,
case.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. I want to, you know, when he's in Atlanta, I want to know what he's doing and what he's up to and if he's having a good time. Absolutely. And when he's here, you know, his dad wants to know what he's doing and how things are with him.
How old is he now?
He's 6.
And what does he say about all this whole notion of co-parenting? Does he recognize it for being what it is, or I don't think he calls it that, does he?
No, he doesn't call it that. He does sometimes ask questions about why two parents are maybe at an event together. He wants his dad to be sometimes around. So he yeah. does notice that when, you know, there are other children that have their two parents there, he does mm-hmm. get that. So he doesn't have that as often as he would like. So
what do you say to him when that comes up?
Mommy and daddy are just in separate places. And that's why I say in our book, if you know, when you're in Atlanta, you're loved. When you're in Kansas City, you're loved. When you're together, it's all about you. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, just trying to open that conversation up for him.
Ned, give us some sense of how much traction this idea of shared physical custody is gaining in the courts. You've referenced this a little bit here today, but how many states are recognizing it today?
Well, first of all, shared parenting is ordinary men and women favor shared parenting as the usual outcome if both parents are fit and there has been no domestic violence. Many surveys and even formal academic research has shown that. So the rank and file American people support this overwhelmingly, like, for instance, 85% to 15%, which is what we got in an actual referendum on the matter in Massachusetts some years ago. Now, when it comes to the legislatures, they're slower, they're moving more slowly, and it's a patchwork across the country with some states moving more quickly than others. But just in this year alone, there are at least 20 states that we know of that are considering shared parenting legislation. And then there are another 5, 6, or 7 that already have pretty good laws.
Let me go to some phone calls here, folks who have called in. Alyssa from Mission, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to share that I am a product of the co-parenting. My parents were divorced when I was 8. I'm 31 now.
So they were pioneers in all this, it sounds like, Alyssa.
Apparently, yes. My dad worked a very interesting work schedule where he worked, you know, 3 days on, 4 days off, and then every 6 weeks it would change. And so we were with one parent during the week sometime and then during the week with another parent sometimes. And so both parents had to get us ready for school or not school. And then we got weekend time with both parents. And it was a truly great experience because I have a great relationship with both of my parents now because of that.
Why were your parents able to recognize that maybe this was the right way to go? At least for them.
I think it was actually out of a necessity with my dad's schedule that he just couldn't do it all. But they both wanted to be a very active part in our life. And so it worked out for the best. And then they didn't have child support or daycare costs were reduced.
Yeah.
There were three of us. And so But it worked out great, and they still have a great relationship because of it. And they're both an active part of our lives now. I mean, they're both part of our weddings and our, you know, birthday parties, kids' birthday parties, and all that stuff.
You know, Alyssa, our guest here, Tiffany Taylor, is talking about the importance of communication with her son's father. And I'm just wondering, what did you, how important was that in your parents' situation?
Oh, it was huge. I mean, they had dinner probably once every 2 months together, just the two of them. And then, you know, when we were in trouble or things like that, they would sit down with us both together. I mean, we were very lucky when it came to that, that they got along really well.
But you never got in trouble, did you, Alyssa? Come on. You sound like an upstanding individual.
Yeah. It was all the other siblings, of course.
There you go. Hey, I'm glad you called. Thanks very much.
Steve,
thank
may
you.
I say something very briefly
yeah,
here?
Go ahead, Ned. You bet.
I think this is beautiful, listening to Alyssa, listening to Tiffany. On the one case, we have one of the parents has a very odd had a very odd work schedule. In the case, they're many miles apart, and yet where there is a will, there's a way. Our opponents are always throwing things up, saying shared parenting can't work if you have a weird work schedule or if you live far away. This proves that where there is a will, there is a way. And also, listen to how these parents relate to each other. They are healing from the divorce, which is painful for anybody who goes through it, where there is a winner and a loser in court, and that winning and losing position lasts indefinitely, they never have a chance to heal. It stays bitter forever.
Let's go to Vincent from Waldo. Vincent, good morning.
Yes. Thank you for having the show.
Sure.
I really appreciate it, Alyssa. I am that. I'm a recent divorcee, a product of what he just said. There's still that winner-loser mentality. And unfortunately, it was like I became a victim because I'm gainfully employed. In and that, I became more of a paycheck. I do have visitation with my children, but it's limited. It's not shared. As a matter of fact, that old formula was used is that, hey, you know, the kids are better off being with their mother. And I just wasn't considered. And my kids are a testimony of, hey, no, we love spending time with Dad, and we do. I enjoy spending time with them. I would love it to be more. I wish it could be changed to where I wasn't just considered a paycheck as far as child support is concerned.
Yeah. All right, Vincent, I'm glad you called. That's a great perspective. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
What do you see as the most important thing to make making shared parenting work? At the end of the day, Tiffany, what's the key ingredient? Is it communication?
It's communication. It's making sure that that child is number one, not feelings involved.
Yeah.
And that was great what the caller said about, you know, not being a paycheck. It is about the child number one.
Let's go to Sherry from Blue Springs. Sherry, good morning.
Hi, Steve. This is Sherry Brady. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a divorce lawyer, custody lawyer. I've been one for 20 years in Missouri. I don't know where Ned's from, but his statement that this every other weekend, the courts are not doing every other weekend. I mean, they're doing 50-50 shared custody, and all 50 states have a joint custody preference. I just wanted to correct the public information that that's not true. Every other weekend's from the 70s, all right?
We're
now doing 50-50 all the time.
Yeah, Vincent didn't have that experience, though, I don't think. So, Sherry, what about him? Our last caller. Well, Ned, why don't you go ahead and respond to that, if you would.
Well, I wish what she said were the actuality. But we National Parents Organization did a study of the statutes of all 50 states just a year ago. You can find the study on our website. And it just doesn't show a preference for shared parenting nearly as widely as it needs to be. Number two, the idea that that judges are doing it anyway is just wrong. Just go look at the U.S. Census Bureau data on single-parent homes and who the and what the situation is, and what you find is that sole custody exists in 83% of the cases across the nation. That's straight from the U.S. Census Bureau data.
That's Dr. Ned Holstein. He's founder and chairman of the National Parents Organization. We are also joined today by Tiffany Taylor, a Kansas City, Kansas resident. She's author of the children's book, Two Halves Make Me Whole. Thank you both for a good conversation.
Thank you very
I appreciate
much.
It.
Thank you, Steve.